creating and rekindling memories. NHR.
The story of the Crucible was written during the McCarthy witch trials of 1950s America. It dramatises the events surrounding the witch trials of 1690 Salem. And the show itself, The Crucible, is on at the Lace Market Theatre Monday the 24th to Saturday the 29th of November. And to tell us a little bit more about the classic production is director Matt Huntback. Good morning, Matt. How are you doing?
Good morning, Kev. Very good, thank you.
Good, good, good. Now then, it's not like you to choose a serious piece of theatre to be involved with, because normally we see sort of the less serious stuff, the three Musketeers and stuff like that. So why did you go for directing The Crucible?
Yeah, that's true. I suppose at the Lace Market, I am sort of known for the comedy plays. Yeah, I've done three or four in that vein. But, you know, I'm a fan of all genres of theatre, both as an actor and as a director. And this was a good opportunity just to try my hand at something else. And it's one of my favourite plays. It's got some great weighty themes, some of the best theatrical moments and great lines of dialogue. And I just relished the opportunity really to take on the challenge, because it is a challenging piece, a huge cast, managing sort of over 20 characters. And that is within itself a bit of a challenge to wrestle that into the smaller intimate space of the Lace Market, really. So, yeah, when it was pitched to me, it's a great opportunity. I'm going to prove myself that I can still do some drama as well as a comedy.
And of course, it's an absolute classic of American literature as well, isn't it, Arthur Miller?
Yeah, I mean, Arthur Miller is one of the great playwrights. I mean, his work is really, really well written. And that's half of the battle, really, I think, as a director. You're working with great material. It does your half of your job for you, really. Every line of dialogue is great. It's really tautly paced, very well written. There's not a wasted stage direction or a wasted line of dialogue. So Arthur Miller, as you summed up really nicely in your introduction there, Kev, yeah, it's a great sort of response to the 1950s McCarthy trials in America. And I think it's really timely in 2025 UK and the rest of the world. I mean, lots of those themes of suspicion and false truths and hysteria and putting the blame at the other, that kind of thing, is really, 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 really timely. And so, yeah.
Anyone would have thought that it'd been written with Trump in mind, really, wouldn't it? But, you know.
that's sort of what I was sort of dancing around. Yeah, you could substitute Trump for any political figure.
Absolutely.
Totalitarianism, you know, absolute pure right and wrongness. And, you know, and there's actually a grey area in between all of that, isn't there? And how quick we are to jump to those conclusions of you're either with us or you're against us. And that's, you know, it's a good sort of time in the world right now to remind ourselves that there is that grey area in between.
So for those who have never heard of The Crucible before, for goodness sake, where have they been? Tell us a little bit about what the story of The Crucible is. What's it all about?
Well, OK, so 1690s Massachusetts, Salem. Yeah, so the Puritans have, within fairly recent generational memory, gone to the New World of America after being persecuted back home in England. To form their own colony. There's a small colony there, Salem, and essentially there's a bit of a love triangle sort of situation going on there. Our main character, John Proctor, he and his wife, Elizabeth Proctor, really good, upstanding members of the community, but Proctor has had an affair with somebody that worked within his household, Abigail Williams. And she's banished from this house because of this affair, but she still harbours feelings for John Proctor. So what she does is, with some of her friends and Tituba, who is a slave woman from Barbados, they go into the woods and they practice a little bit of witchcraft. It's Abigail's aim that she wants John Proctor for herself, and she wants to be rid of Elizabeth. Now, word of this gets out, and Betty Williams, one of the younger daughters of Paris, the local reverend, falls sick, and she's in a coma. Nobody can understand why. Very quickly, the finger of witchcraft is pointed around. Now, people start to panic, and this is the catalyst for everybody to start airing their petty grievances and their rivalries. Okay, so, you know, all the kinds of things that you get living in a community. Everybody uses this opportunity to start accusing people they don't really like or people that have wronged them for witchcraft, and everybody gets overzealous. The judges get involved. Deputy Governor Danforth gets involved, and essentially there's a spree of hangings and executions, and it all very quickly turns into mass hysteria and gets completely out of control.
And there's a lot of bullying and sort of rabble rousing as well, and people, you know, sort of admitting maybe to things that they did or maybe they didn't do. Who knows?
Well, that's the crucial question that this play poses, really. Like, you know, at what point do you have integrity? At what point do you actually say, even though you know it's fully false and not true, yes, I have consorted with the devil, yes, I am a witch. And therefore, you save yourself from the hangman's noose, but you are lying to yourself. Lying to society. That's the question that is posed there, really. And that's the journey that John Proctor ultimately has to go through.
Now then, you mentioned earlier on that there's a cast of over 20 people on stage, and it is a fairly big cast, isn't it? But then again, there's so many different characters, so many interesting characters which are involved in the story as well. So it's one of those plays where I've seen several times before, and it's always so. It's one of those plays that, you know, you just have to talk about afterwards. It doesn't matter how many times you've seen it, it always brings up sort of different stories and, you know, sort of further on down the line. And you know, it's a right talking point. Right talking point. Yes. It's all, the mouse Absolutely. Isn't working this morning. I don't know what's up with it. it's one of those plays which, you know, it doesn't matter how many times you've seen it, you'll still go away talking about it, won't you?
And hopefully all good theatre and all good stories will have that effect. I mean, that's absolutely the point. We want to, you know, it's set in 1600s, but we're holding up a mirror to modern society. We're holding up a mirror to you and I and everybody else. Mm. We want you to go out of the theatre thinking, well, actually, yeah, that could be me. We just substitute the subject of witchcraft for anything else. You know, as you mentioned earlier, you know, Trumpism, you know, Brexit, you know, the culture wars, whatever it is that's the current topic, we're very, very quick to pick a side, aren't we? And we lose that nuance of debate. So, yeah, absolutely want people to be leaving at the end of the play having those discussions.
Now,
have you changed?
Yeah, exactly. People are still going to keep talking about good theatre. On Facebook, there's a look at what the set looks like.
Good.
It's a very different from what I can see from the Facebook thing. It's a very different type of set. It looks to be like a circular thing. Tell us a little bit about the set.
So our set designer, Guy Evans, has done a fantastic job. Well, he always does a fantastic job. But yeah, this particularly works. So we started off, Guy and I, having these discussions. Guy's idea was he wanted to reflect this simple, raw, sort of Puritan nature of this colony going out to the New World. We want bare, naked wood. It's just been hewn, just been cut down, just been laid, and we've got the sort of we've got an elevated circular stage, so we're not actually treading on the lace market stage. We've built a raised stage. It is circular, that's right, you know, because we're trying to suggest the image of a crucible, dare I say, and we descend into the crucible, and everything is self-contained within this circular, tight space. It gets quite compact with 20 actors on there. It evokes this feeling of pressure rising and everybody's trapped. Mm. Alongside that circular moment, we've got several vertical beams of wood as well, just to suggest perhaps what's outside of this encampment, of this colony. It's the woods, it's the wilderness, it's the vast, endless stretches of the rest of the United States of America into the East and the rest of the world. So hopefully that very different looking set to what we used to the lace market is going to help you along that journey of experiencing the play.
Again, it's going to be a big talking point as well, because as you say, it's a very different type of set to what we're used to seeing. Now, for anybody who's seen The Crucible before and seen it as many times as well, I've seen it as well, you see sort of different costumes. People try to set it in different time scales and stuff like that.
Surely, yeah.
So with this production, are we keeping to the traditional sort of Arthur Miller style costumes?
Yeah, we're setting on Pluto in the year 7052. We're all going to be on ice skates. Oh, no, sorry. That's a trade secret. You have to wait and see. No. There are no gimmicks. There are no bells and whistles. We're not doing anything. We're not doing anything too radical with this. We are setting it firmly in the 1690s, Puritans, and costumes will reflect that. Set will reflect that. Accents will reflect that, performances will reflect that, yeah.
Well, I tell you what, why change it? If it's such a good play, such a good story, why bother changing it? Just have it as it is.
Agree.
Yeah.
So. Completely agree, because Arthur Miller's script is strong and powerful enough. I mean,
absolutely.
Yeah, there are valid productions that have tried to update it. And of course, that was the consideration. That was a conversation we had at the beginning of the process. But I think the point of historicization is that it should be, and it is probably more effective, we do set these kind of themes in the past, because it does allow the audience that little bit of distance there, and hopefully allows them to consider it a little bit more openly and question the themes than if it was, you know, up to date and in 2025.
And I think it also retains a lot of the atmosphere of the time and the sort of fear and, you know, the sort of menace of that time, you know, if you're not sort of dressed in a bin bag or something like that, you know.
Well, that's exactly. If we decide to do that in 2025, you know, you sort of immediately pose questions like, well, okay, why isn't everybody just whipping out their iPhone? And we could say, well, I saw the girls doing witchcraft in the woods, and here it is on my iPhone. Look, I've got proof. It has to be set in its original intended time frame, I think. Yeah, I mean, this, after all, let us not forget, is a real documented historical moment in history. So that's what we need to honour, really, yeah.
Brilliant stuff. Tickets, where can people get tickets from? How can they get tickets, Matt?
So tickets are selling really, really fast, actually. And that's not just a gimmick employ, they really are. So do snap them up if you want to. I think particularly Saturday matinee is almost gone. And I think Thursday and Friday are almost gone as well. Best thing to do is go to the Lace Market Theatre website, www.lacemarkettheatre.co.uk, or you can pop into the Lace Market box office and you can order them in person. Usually best to do that in the evenings after 6 p.m.
Brilliant stuff. So it's The Crucible. It's at the Lace Market Theatre, Monday the 24th to Saturday the 29th of November. Go and watch an absolute classic on stage, performed brilliantly as well at the Lace Market Theatre. Matt, thank you so much for your time this morning, and we'll see you down there on the 24th.
Really looking forward to it, Kevin. I was just saying as well, Kev, phone number, another opportunity to get tickets.
Absolutely.
It's 0115 950 7201, and that website again is www.lacemarkettheatre.co.uk. Thanks, Kev.
Brilliant stuff. We'll see you down there, Matt.
Did you know that Nottingham Hospital Radio is a registered charity? As a result, we rely on people like you to donate to it. All our members are committed volunteers who run the service for the benefit and entertainment of the patients in the Queen's Medical Centre and City Hospitals. Research has shown that listening to hospital radio can positively benefit a patient's recovery, and we think it's a very worthwhile thing to do. Donating to NHR is easy and rewarding, so please log on to nhradio.org.uk and go to the donate page. That's nhradio.org.uk/donate. You'll be glad you did, and thank you.